Morning, everyone. Brought my camping chair. I'm gonna need a minute. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice. Except now I have to pee. Your soul ever crave silence? Just to kind of escape the rat race and get rid of the noise and detach from the hustle and break free from the confines of the city and just sit in the silence. I can almost smell the bacon cooking on an open fire. By the way, if you don't like bacon, this may not be a good church for you. Just saying. The older I get, the more that I crave moments like this. I crave silence. And yet silence is so fragile. It's so easily broken. It's so brittle. Maybe that's why we long for it so. To push away all the noise and just rest in peace. Studies show that constant noise has a pronounced physical effect on the brain, resulting in elevated levels of stress hormones. One study said that while noise may cause stress and tension, silence releases tension in the brain and the body. A study published in the journal Heart discovered that 2 minutes of silence a day can lower blood pressure and increase blood circulation to the brain. Peace and stillness to stop the noise. I want to stand where the echoes stop. Far past where sound has abandoned thought, where silence reigns over redundancy, where once well said is more than enough. I want to stand where the echoes stop, where words must be born to be heard, where speech is a gift and not a curse, where there is more of the unique and less of the mundane. I want to stand where the echoes stop, where meaning is rescued from noise, where conviction replaces thoughtless repetition, where what everyone is saying surrenders to what needs to be said. I want to stand where the echoes stop, where substance overthrows the superficial, where courage conquers compliance and conformity, where words do not travel farther than the person who speaks them. I want to stand where echoes stop, where I only say what I believe, where I only repeat what changes me, where empty words finally rest in peace. I want to stand where the echoes stop. Be still and know that I am God. Peace, stillness, tranquility, serenity. It all sounds so good, doesn't it? Peace and stillness, tranquility, serenity. It sounds so good right now. After the 2020 that we've all had, I mean, I crave peace and stillness. Peace from the chatter and peace from responsibility, peace from the thumping inside of my head. peace from the pressure to be more or to be stronger or more wealthy, peace from the pressure to be smarter, prettier, thinner, better parents, a better spouse, a better boyfriend, girlfriend. You fill in the blank. Peace from all of it. Perhaps this is why the angelic declaration some 2,000 years ago still matters to us today. At the coming of the Christ child, all of heaven proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." Maybe this is one reason why the Christmas story still resonates within us, why it is still relevant, because it hints at the very thing that we all need, we're all seeking, and rarely find. Peace and rest. A professor at Cornell University notes that children who are exposed to noise develop a stress response that causes them to ignore the noise. What is of interest, he said, is that these children not only ignore harmful stimuli, they ignore the stimuli that they should be paying attention to, such as speech. And so science is now proving what parents have already known, that our children are literally tuning us out. But it's not just children. It's adults as well. It's our screaming schedules and unrealistic to-do lists and our unmet expectations and the inability to say no. It's unpaid bills and family moments that would disqualify all of us from being parents of the year. It induces a stress response in us and causes us to tune out the noise, to block out life. And in doing so, I fear that we actually tune out what we actually need most on this crazy ride called life. We tune out the voice of God, and God becomes distant. Maybe this is why Jesus was intentional in drowning out the distractions. Read through the New Testament, read through the Gospels, and you'll see that he was always sneaking off to find a quiet place, a place to focus, a time to listen and be filled, to kind of get away from the clanging horde of people. And so what I would ask is that today we kind of stay in this mindset, stay in this moment. And let's approach God with a clear mind and a peaceful, calm soul. And let's remain before God for just a moment. And let us listen, and let us reflect, and let us remember who our God is. The love that he has for us and the faithfulness that he has shown. Let us approach with a soul that is calm and at peace, that we may hear God again. And may you be renewed.
Every breath that I am made, I'm alive.
Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest and peace, peace on earth. It's what we all need right now. Peace over our circumstances, peace over our finances, peace over our health concerns, peace over our relationships. I think that often we equate peace with the absence of something. That we think for peace to exist, it requires there to be the absence of turmoil or the absence of stress, the absence of tension or negative circumstances. But if our hope for peace is anchored in the absence of, we will never have sustaining peace. Peace will always be elusive because what we've all come to know about life is that there is always some level of disappointment in life, even in the best of circumstances. Meaning, absence of disappointment is a myth, right? Life always has some level of disappointment. The relationship may be good, but they forgot your anniversary and Christmas and Valentine's Day and your birthday, right? Right? The job is going well, but your raise was less than you anticipated. Vacation was good, but it was too short. Great friends, but you weren't invited to the barbecue. Or the kids are doing well, but there's that one kid who's, you know, we all have that one. There's always some level of disappointment in life, even in the best of circumstances. But then we also know that circumstances are rarely at their best. Right? We know that in life, circumstances are rarely at their best. All things are never quite working together at the same time. Friends will let you down. Your boss will never be satisfied. You will have car trouble or health issues or family issues. Everywhere we look, there is a gap between what we desire and what actually is, because circumstances are rarely at their best. But it doesn't stop there. Sometimes life is blatantly unfair. I mean, this is the realities of life, that sometimes life is blatantly unfair. It's not just the case of things not being at their best. It feels as if the deck is stacked against you, that you wake up every morning with a target on your back and you're tempting the universe to take its best shot. This is what we know to be true. See, if peace is tied to the absence of disappointment, the absence of things that are undesirable, the absence of negative circumstances, we will never experience sustained peace, because life is never truly absent of these things. They always exist to some level, because there is always some level of disappointment, even in the best of circumstances. And we know that circumstances are rarely at their best, and sometimes life is blatantly unfair. Meaning the absence of, it's an illusion. The absence of these things is an illusion. It's found nowhere in human history, and it's found nowhere in Scripture. So if peace is not the absence of these things, then what is peace? I have three thoughts for you. Peace, first, is presence. Peace is presence. You fill in the blank. Peace is not the absence of, it is the presence of. So whatever that looks like for you, peace is not the absence of blank, whatever that is for you, but the presence of something or someone greater than the blank. Peace is presence. Peace is not the absence of financial struggles, but the presence of something or someone greater than the struggle. Peace is not the absence of relationship strife, but the presence of something, someone greater than the strife. Peace is not the absence of sickness, but the presence of something, someone greater than the sickness. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Chaos will always be there, but the presence of something or someone greater than the chaos. What am I saying? I am saying that peace is not a what. Peace is a who. Peace is the presence of a who. Peace is a person. Peace is a who. Jesus is the original Whoville Christmas. Maybe you've heard the famous book, Mary Hears a Who. Right? Maybe you've heard that one. So the question becomes, Whoville you follow? See what I did there? Whoville you follow? Never mind. Merry Christmas. Peace is not the absence of. Peace is the presence of God that transcends our circumstances. And until we understand that, we will never have sustained peace. Look at Ephesians. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Now, this is speaking between the tension between Jews and Gentiles, but it could, we could very well say, applies to the tension of anything in life. Wherever there is strife, wherever there is tension, he is our peace. Because peace is not a what, peace is a who. This is the good news that we read during the angelic proclamation of his verse of at his birth. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace is not a what, peace is a who. Look what Jesus says in John, "Peace I leave with you." And not just any peace. He says, "I'm leaving you my peace. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives," right? Which is just based upon circumstances, the absence of. He said, "I don't give you to as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Listen, if you hear one thing this morning, hear this, that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of someone greater than your trouble. I hope you're beginning to see it a little bit. Absence of is a myth. Here's my second thought. Peace is not just presence, but peace is purposeful. What I mean by that is that peace is found in your purpose. A recent article, Top 10 Things That People Crave, peace was right up there among the top. But they all, the biggest challenge to attaining peace was what was interesting. They said the biggest challenge to attaining peace is a lack of clarity about who I am and what my purpose is. See, until you know who you are and until you understand what your purpose is, why you're here, why you're drawing the next breath, peace will always be elusive because peace is purposeful. When you understand your purpose, why you exist, what you're about, you will be able to weather unfavorable circumstances better than someone who is purposeless, right? You will navigate the pressure of school better when you understand your purpose, why you're there. When I lose my purpose as pastor, stress becomes overwhelming. Right? When my purpose is clear, I can better handle the stress that comes with the job. It relates to everything. Parenting is both life-giving and life-sucking, often at the same time. But what we know is that these little humans have a way of overwhelming us, but we know that we can parent the pressures of parenting. We can pilot the pressure of parenting better when our purpose is clear. When we are parenting with the end in mind, in other words, we are looking to the future at what type of children we are trying to raise, who we want them to be, right? It is our purpose. And when purpose is clear, we are able to endure with peace. Doesn't matter what it is, peace is more readily experienced when your purpose is clear. It was this understanding that strengthened Jesus in the shadow of the cross. Let's first look at 1 Timothy, which says, here's a trustworthy statement that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's like, here's the purpose of Christ. This is why he's here. This is why he came. This is his purpose. Now look at Hebrews And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, right? Here's all part of the purpose wrapped into this. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. His purpose, the joy awaiting him, the joy set before him, right? Helped him to endure the cross, to despise its shame, to enter into that season of life, understanding his purpose. The joy of putting God's love on display, his purpose. The joy of breaking the curse over humanity, his purpose. The joy of defeating sin, his purpose. The joy of overcoming death. The joy of being seated by the right hand of God. The joy of redeeming humanity. The joy of spending eternity with you. His purpose allowed him to utter the words, not my will, but your will. If this is what has to be done, if the cross is in my future, this is my purpose, then let's go forward with it. See, the circumstances did not change. The cross was still before him. And yet he endured the pressure and suffering of the cross because he knew his purpose. And so let me just ask you today, what is your purpose? Why are you here? Let's narrow that down just a little bit. What is your purpose in your current assignment? In the current season of life that you're in, or the current season that your kids are in, what is your purpose today, right now? What is the purpose in your current assignment, in this current season of life? When you understand your purpose, life comes into focus. Ministry comes into focus. Your employment comes into focus. Relationships come into focus. And where there is purpose, there is a measure of peace to endure because you know what you are about. Peace is presence. Peace is purpose. And peace is a promise. Peace is a promise. The character of God can be seen in the promise to be with us in the struggle. To be with us in the pain, in the mess, in the chaos, in the storm. Look at Isaiah 54. Though the mountains be shaken and hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. My covenant of peace be removed. It's not a contract of peace. It's a covenant of peace. See, a contract is based upon two parties doing what is agreed. But when Scripture reveals God as a covenant-keeping God, it means that God commits himself in a way that does not or is not affected by what we do. In other words, it's not two parties keeping the contract, it's God keeping and sustaining both parties. That God enters into a covenant saying that I will love you and I will be near to you and you can't chase me off. Because I am a covenant-keeping God. I take the responsibility to fulfill my promise. This is what it speaks of. See, listen, the absence of whatever, blank, is not a promise, right? Look at John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Absence of, it's a myth, right? Jesus said, look, you're going to have trouble in this world. Life is life. The absence of is a peace, but presence of is a promise. Go to that next one. And surely I am with you always. See, there's the presence and the promise of peace, right, comes with us because of the promise to be with us. Absence of is not a promise. Presence of, presence with, is a promise. And in that presence, we find his peace. So what does that look like for you today? Look at Psalm 29. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people. Blesses his people. Breathe that in. Blesses his people with peace. I don't know what your circumstances are today, but I'm guessing that you need to be blessed with peace. See, in the world, people fight and strive to obtain peace, but peace is not something that we work for as followers of Christ. It is something that is given to us. This is why Isaiah declared, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. Peace is not found in an ideology. Peace is not found in a state of mind. It is the product, or it is not the product of something we do or something that we become. Peace is discovered in the person, in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so let me close with this blessing, this prayer of blessing that Paul prayed over the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. May the God of your salvation, may the God that you follow, may Jesus fill you with all joy and with all peace as you trust in him. See, peace cannot be obtained by force or by will, but it can be achieved through surrender as we trust in him, as we yield our lives to him. And the more that he takes over, the more his presence comes and the more that peace rests upon us, those who trust him. Let me pray. Lord, today I know many of us are in a season of turmoil. It seems like the entire world is in a season of turmoil. And so we are praying that you would step in to our circumstances and bring us peace. Let us understand that peace is not the absence of, but it is the presence of. It is your presence that brings peace to us. Would you reveal to us what our purpose is in this season of life, whatever it is that we might be struggling with right now? It may be something with a situation in the family or something at work, or I don't know what that might be, but would you show us what our purpose is in that particular season, in the now, and help us to endure, help us to weather the challenges with a peace that is beyond ourselves. And would we grasp a hold of the promise of peace? Would we begin to claim it and speak it over ourselves, over our situations, that we may walk in a supernatural peace that you give? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you go, we have to go through some announcements because we did not give it on the front end, so have two things for you. First, you may not be aware of this, but we baptized 17 people in the last 5 weeks here live, and it was fantastic. Here are some photos of those that we baptized, and I am so grateful for what God is doing in our church family. Every one of these people represent just the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church body and what he is doing and calling people unto himself, all different ages, and I absolutely loved it. And that is a part of your blessing as well. Whether you're here, whether you're online, if Reveal is your church, then you help make that possible. So it was fantastic. Last thing I want to let you know about is our Christmas service. Everything just changed as of about an hour and a half ago. So the original plan was what we normally do. On a Sunday afternoon, we throw a massive Christmas party, right? A huge Christmas show, and it is phenomenal and a lot of laughter and a lot of craziness. But man, with all the COVID stuff going on right now, I'm really concerned a couple people get knocked out and the whole show is tanked, right? So we decided to make some changes. One of the podcasts that I listened to, a couple pastors were talking, and they said, look, if you're leading a church right now, what you need to know is everything that you used to do is not going to apply to what you're doing today. And they said, you must be flexible. You must be willing to turn on a moment because things are changing so quickly. And so we literally made a 90-degree turn about an hour and a half ago. Here's what it looks like. We are no longer doing our Christmas Eve or our Christmas service on Sunday, December 20th, like we had planned. Instead, my friends, Christmas is now Wednesday, December 23rd at 5, 6:15, 7:45. Here's what it means. We're going to bring it down this year. All right? No Grinch, no craziness. We're going to bring it down. It's going to be a little quieter, a lot more reflective. If someone gets sick, we can still have the service go on. We'll do a candle lighting service, and it will be simple but meaningful and profound as we just highlight the birth of Christ. Please be aware. We'll have childcare for kids 8 and under. Other than that, bring your kids in. It'll be a shortened service, so they won't be too bored. But it will not be like last year or in the years past where it was geared towards a family service. It will be much more simple, and it will be on Wednesday, December 23rd. Forget about what the bulletin says. If you see it online, that'll be changed next week. We just made this decision. Also be aware that Sunday, December 20th, is now normal service times, 9 and 10:30 a.m. Also be aware, this won't affect you if you're online, but Sunday, December 27th, we will only offer online services. Again, if you're an online community, then that won't affect you, but just be aware. All right. If you can join us live, if you feel comfortable, come on out Wednesday, December 23rd, 5:15, 7:45. We are going to try to have it live streamed. We are this close to being able to do it. That may be the one that we try as a test run. We'll see how that goes. I hope you will join us for our Christmas service on December 23rd. I am looking forward to it. I think it will be profound. I think it's going to be great, and you should be here. In the meantime, if you need anything, shout at us. We're always here for you. God bless you. I pray for the peace that surpasses understanding to rest upon you. Amen.